Guide us to that perfect light. Jesus is the light of the world. What a joy to gather together in this one church family worship gathering today and celebrate that Jesus is the light of the world. You know, on most Sunday mornings, we have the short service and we have the long service. But today, since we're all together, we just have one long service. So this is going to be great. I'm so excited to worship with you. So take your Bible and let's open it up today to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. We're going to close out 2021 by preaching from a favorite psalm. Psalm 67. If you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand. We have Bibles we'd love to give you as our gift to you. You can take this home and the new year is always a great opportunity to start reading the Bible, committing every day for Bible intake. Increase your Bible knowledge by reading just a portion of God's Word every single day. And please, if you don't have a Bible of your own, take this as our gift to you, that you might know God as He has revealed us in His Word. Well, ever since I heard David Platt preach Psalm 67 at the Sing Conference 2 years ago, I have longed for the day when I could study Psalm 67 for myself and preach it to you. Psalm 67 has quickly become one of my favorite psalms, and I believe this psalm has the power to change how we think and change how we practically live in our lives. I am convinced this psalm will increase your joy and your satisfaction in God if you will simply hear and obey its message that is before us. Psalm 67 is often entitled the missionary psalm because its chorus swells with a longing for every people group on the earth to be glad in God. Therefore, I think it's very appropriate for us to think about Psalm 67 at this time, in this season, in our calendar. We just celebrated Christmas, and there's no missions, there's no holiday more missions-oriented than Christmas. After all, Christmas is when we celebrate God sending His own Son into a hostile and wicked world in order to rescue them from their sins. Christmas proves our God is a missionary God. But on this last Sunday of 2021, as we anticipate a fresh start to a brand new year together, Psalm 67 also provides God's people with a timely reminder of our life's purpose. God saved us. Church, God saved us for the sake of His glory. God is not some heavenly butler that exists for our good. God saved us so that we might now live our lives for the sake of the one who died and rose again on our behalf. So Psalm 67, therefore, reorients our perspective and our purpose right in time for all of this self-examination that rightly accompanies the turn of a new year. I am praying, church, that God will use Psalm 67 among us today to help all of us reconnect God's blessings in our life with God's purpose for our life as we study and worship Him together. So if you're able, I'd invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word as I read from the English Standard Version, Psalm 67. To the choir master, with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, Selah. That Your way may be known on the earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Let's pray that God's Spirit would do an amazing supernatural work in our hearts as we meditate on this together, shall we? Let's pray. Father, please be gracious to us. Please smile upon us. We do not deserve your smile. We do not deserve your grace. We are well aware of that. But Christ is our King, and he is our judge, and he is our merciful Savior. And so we come in his name, and we pray that you would bless us, that you would favor us with a greater view of your glory, so that we would have greater joy and desire to spread your glory to all the nations for the sake of your name. Please, Father, please glorify yourself through the preaching of your word. We wait eagerly and expectantly for you. Amen. Well, Psalm 67 is a prayer that's captivated by a singular purpose and fueled by faith in God's promise. Its main point is simple, but life-changing. God blesses you for the sake of his praise among all the people. God blesses his people for the sake of his praise among all the peoples. So don't miss this. All of us in this room have received many, many blessings from our God, right? But God has a purpose for giving us such undeserved favor. And Psalm 67 teaches us that the reason that God blesses you and me with such extravagant grace is so that all the peoples of the world would better praise him. The blessing that God gives to his people is always connected to his missionary purpose, so that all the peoples from all the nations would better praise God because of how God has blessed you and me. Now, this is an often forgotten truth, but it's actually a theme that goes all the way throughout scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Ponder this for a moment. In Genesis chapter 12, God promises to bless Abraham so that in Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In Genesis 26, God promises to bless Isaac so that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. In Genesis 28, God promises to bless a single man named Jacob with a large family so that in Jacob and his offspring, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In Exodus 14, God blesses his people with deliverance from Pharaoh. Why? So that all the Egyptians will know that Yahweh is God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, God gives Israel his law. Why? So that all the nations of the earth would marvel at the goodness of Israel's God. In 1 Kings chapter 10, the Gentile queen, the queen of Sheba, responds to God's extravagant blessings to Solomon by giving praise to God herself. For what kind of a God would bless Solomon like this? King David acknowledged when he wrote Psalm 23 that God leads him in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. In Psalm 25, verse 11, David wrote, "Lord, please forgive me for my sins." Why? Why would he want the blessing of forgiveness? "For your name's sake," he says in Psalm 25, 11. So are you catching the pattern? The reason God gives his people supernatural blessing is always for the sake of his own glory among unbelievers across the world. The prophet Ezekiel makes this explicit in chapter 36 when God says, "It's not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but it's for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to whom you were sent. See, God blesses his people with a purpose. And the purpose for our blessed condition today has to do with God's glory among all the nations. The theme of God receiving, of God's people receiving supernatural blessing from God, also that unbelievers would eventually praise God more, is actually also in the New Testament as well. After all, what's the greatest blessing that God ever gave to his people? Jesus? That's a good one. That's not the one I thought of. I like yours better. But I think it's the same. I was going to say the Holy Spirit. It was a great blessing that God gave to his people. Because the greatest blessing God ever gave to us was himself. And I know the Holy Spirit and Jesus and Father, they're all one. It's kind of a mystery. We call it the Trinity, but the greatest blessing, we can all agree, the greatest blessing he gave us was himself. And Acts 1 connects the blessing of the Holy Spirit to this purpose of living as his witnesses to all the nations. Paul agrees with this in Galatians chapter 1 when he testifies how God revealed Jesus to Paul also that Jesus would be preached to the Gentiles. In other words, all of human history is leading to this future climax that is pictured in Revelation chapter 7, when people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation will be praising God forever and ever and ever because how God has blessed his people. So don't miss this. God has a purpose for blessing you that is far greater than your own personal need. God always blesses you for the sake of his greater praise among all peoples. God's divine favor in our life is connected to something that's far greater than us. God blesses us so that more unbelievers would eventually praise his name forever and his glory would be increased. Now, this is absolutely marvelous, isn't it? This is a priority-shifting, paradox-turning truth for us to grasp. Because we are all prone to disconnect God's blessing in our life from God's purpose for our life. But once you understand this prayer of Psalm 67, you can no longer disconnect God's blessing in your life from God's purpose for your life. Let's begin by considering the prayer for God's blessing in verse 1. I hope your Bibles are open. I want you to be looking at the text. I want you to be convinced of this main point from the text, not from the preacher. The prayer of God's blessing is in verse 1. Here, an anonymous author prays for God to bless his people. The prayer in verse 1 is based on the high priestly prayer found in Numbers chapter 6. You might remember that in Numbers chapter 6, God taught Aaron and Aaron's sons to pray this prayer of blessing over God's people, saying, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." But carefully notice two differences between the prayers in number 6 and Psalm 67. Notice in the high priestly prayer in number 6, God is referred to by his name Yahweh, Lord in all title caps in our English translations. And that's the name that emphasizes God's eternal covenant-keeping faithfulness to his people, Israel. But in Psalm 67, all 6 references to God use the title Elohim, translated God in English, which is his most generic name that is used universally by all nations. Also notice that in number 6, the prayer is directed at God's people, using the singular pronoun you, God bless you, while in Psalm 67, the author uses the pronoun us in verses 1 and 6 and 7 in order to identify himself with those who receive the blessing. So what's this mean? These are clues that hint that Psalm 67 is seeking a universal blessing that's going to extend far beyond the borders of God's chosen people. So let's examine exactly what blessing the psalmist is seeking from God. After all, we all want God to bless us, right? Do you want God to bless you? As you're going into a new year, do you want the blessing of God in your life? So what do you pray for when you pray? What blessing do you most desire from God? In verse 1, we find the psalmist seeking God's mercy. Seeking God's mercy. May God be gracious to us and bless us. Gracious simply refers to favor, compassion, mercy. See, God, may God bless us with a favor and a grace that we do not deserve, that we could never earn. When we pray for God's blessing, we acknowledge we don't deserve God's favor. We don't deserve favor from a holy God that we have sinned against rebelliously. So we seek mercy. And then I love the next phrase, and may God make his face to shine upon us. Now, what does that mean? Make your face to shine upon us. We don't talk like that. We don't use that phrase in our language. So perhaps it would help us understand what is meant if we use the phrase, may God smile upon us. Because a shining face is a smiling face. The opposite of an angry or a scowling face. The opposite of an indifferent face or a face that turns away from you. No. Write this down. To ask God to cause his face to shine upon us is to seek God's friendship. To seek God's friendship. God, please, please bless us with a favorable, warm, intimate relationship with you. What a prayer for God's people to pray. Lord, please smile upon us. Please give us spiritual intimacy, relational communion with you. Oh, church, most often when we talk about God blessing us, we are referring to material blessings or riches or physical health or getting a good job or having a bountiful harvest. And although material blessings are indeed a part of this prayer, as we're going to see in a moment, they're only the smallest part of it. For while physical riches are indeed from God, we must remember Jesus' warning. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? The highest blessing we could ever receive from God is his favorable personal relationship with us. And if this spiritual blessing of friendship with God is not underneath all of our material blessings and all of our earthly happiness, then all of our earthly comforts and riches will only be deceptive insulation from our need for our greatest blessing, which is to be known by God and in personal relationship with God. So, dear church, join in with this psalmist and ask God to bless you with mercy. Ask God to bless you with a greater spiritual friendship with him. And then also seek God's provision. After all, in verse 6, the psalmist rejoices that the earth has yielded its increase. And then he's talking there about the bountiful harvest. We've had a great harvest this year. And he connects the great harvest with the blessing of God upon his people. So whenever you seek God's mercy and you seek God's friendship and you seek God's provision, you are praying for God's blessing. Now, when you see the word Selah in the Psalms, like you do at the end of verse 1, it's a musical term. It's kind of hard to know exactly what it means, but it's a call to pause, to meditate, to think carefully. Let it soak in. So let's do that. When's the last time you asked God to bless his people? Lord, pour out your favor upon the church. Cause the church to know your mercy more and more. Cause the church to know your smile. Cause the church to be more spiritually intimate with you. When you think about God's blessings in your life, how do you define God's blessings? Or perhaps maybe we should even ask this question, like, is it selfish? Is it selfish to ask God to bless us? Well, of course, that depends on our motivation, right? That depends on the purpose for God's blessing. And that's where the largest section of this psalm puts its focus. What is God's purpose for blessing his people with mercy, friendship, and provision? What motivates God to bless his people with such extravagant favor? And the answer is found in verses 2 to 5. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Why? So that, verse 2, underline or circle that word that, so that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. So don't miss this, church. The reason God blesses his people is because God aims to be known by all people. Notice his blessing of us is bigger than us. God blesses us so that his way and his saving power may be known across all the nations of the earth. Before all the nations of the earth will praise God, like we see in verses 3 and 5, they must first know God. They must know his saving power at work in their own lives. Now, if you look at these seven verses in Psalm 67, you'll count 10 different references to the peoples or the nations or all the ends of the earth. So clearly, God is intending for his ways and his saving power to be known by all people groups everywhere on the planet. Now, if you do some study, you can say there's at least 11,000 people groups on the earth today. 11,000 different people groups. Some would say as many as 24,000, depending on how you kind of define a people group. But over 6,000. If we say 11,000 people groups, and we count it that way, over 6,000 of the 11,000 people groups on the planet today have never, ever heard of Jesus. That's 2 billion people. Let that sink in for a moment. Church, there are more than 2 billion people on the planet today who have never heard the gospel of salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. It's not like they've heard it and rejected it. They have never even ever heard the name Jesus. There's 6,000 people groups today that have no clue from the scriptures that God sent Christ that their sins may be forgiven. Now, don't miss this. The reason God so blesses us is so that people everywhere can know God's ways and God's saving power, like we do. God calls every Christian to live in the world, among the world, so that the world would have a constant, clear witness of his grace and his power. God purposefully blesses his people with his saving power so that the nations would get a clear visual of who he is and how marvelous is his grace. God purposefully pours out his mercy and his spiritual intimacy and his provision upon Christians like me and Christians like you so that non-Christians will begin to experience God's favor through God's people and thereby be brought into a saving knowledge of God themselves. So is it possible, Newcastle Bible Church, is it possible that one reason why there is still 2 billion people living on this planet today who have not yet even heard about the name of Jesus is because we have disconnected God's blessings from God's purpose in our own life. Are you hoarding God's grace? Have we forgotten that God intends for all the peoples to know about him as a result of how much he has given to us? God blesses you for the sake of his praise among all peoples. Verses 3 and 5 repeat this refrain. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Pastor John Piper writes this about these verses. He says, Worship, therefore, is the fuel and the goal of missions. In missions, we simply aim to bring the nations into white hot enjoyment of God's glory. The goal of missions is the gladness of the peoples in the greatness of our God. I like that. Now, verse 4 is bracketed by this chorus of praise in verses 3 and 5. And therefore, verse 4 is intended to receive the logical emphasis of the author. The primary purpose of God's blessing to us is found in verse 4. Why does God bless us with such extravagant grace in our lives? Verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and you guide the nations upon the earth. In other words, the reason that God so richly blesses us is that God aims to be enjoyed by all people. Look at verse 4. God doesn't just want people to know about him. God wants people everywhere to enjoy him, not to hoard his grace, but to experience satisfaction in sharing his grace and his joy with others. Now, this is so radically God-centered that it can be offensive, if we're honest. After all, if you ask Christians today, what is the basic message of Christianity? Most Christians will tell you, God loves you. And that's true. It's very true. But according to Psalm 67, it's incomplete. The basic message of Christianity, according to the scripture, is that God loves you so that he can magnify his glory among all the nations forever. God's glory is always foundational to God's love. Remember Ezekiel 36, church. We are not at the center of God's universe. God loves us only because that is how he chooses to exalt himself. But you ask, well, doesn't that kind of make God self-absorbed? Doesn't that make God selfish? If God is only loving us in order to exalt himself? Good question. So think carefully. Since God is the absolute perfection of all that is good, who else would you want God to exalt? You? Me? And if our greatest joy comes from enjoying God himself even more than his gifts, then why would we question God's love when he aims for us to enjoy him forever? You see, the fact that God lives for his own glory doesn't minimize the power of his love for us. Instead, it actually magnifies the beauty of his love for sinners. God indeed does love you deeply. Yes, he does. His love is extreme. His love is supernatural. His love is persistent, extravagant. But it is God's sincere, loving passion for undeserving sinners like us that is what increases his eternal glory forever and ever. So make no mistake about it, church. The reason that God has given us so much blessings has far more to do with him than it ever does with us. God's blessings to you are not fundamentally about you. No. Instead, God intends for his blessings to you to spread through you. God gave you salvation so that others might know of his saving power. God blessed you with wealth. And after all, church, let's put a parenthesis here. We are the richest Christians that have ever lived on this planet in history. God gave us wealth so that the nations would worship him. Not so that we would increase our standard of living and coast into heaven. God has blessed you and me so that he would be enjoyed by all 11,000 people groups. Don't you think he's worthy to be worshiped by all the people groups of the world? After all, verse 4 reminds us that our God is a righteous judge. Our God is a sovereign king. He guides and rules over all the nations. He aims to be worshiped. That's why verse 7 ends, "Let all the ends of the earth fear him." In other words, God blesses you and me with so much extravagant blessing, all because he aims to be feared by all people. He is the righteous judge who alone has the power to cast a soul into hell. He is the sovereign king. Salvation belongs to the one who sits on the throne and rules and guides over all the peoples of the earth. So why does God bless us? Because we need it? Yes. Because he loves us? Yes. But there's a reason that's far greater than both of those reasons. Why does God bless us? God's ultimate purpose for blessing us is that he would be known, he would be enjoyed, he would be feared by all 11,000 people groups on the planet today. Now in verses 6 and 7, this powerful, purposeful prayer ends with the promise of God's blessing. Verse 6 says, "The earth has yielded its increase," which is a celebration of God's faithful provision in the harvest. Now, there's some question here about the grammatical verb tense in verse 6. Most scholars believe it's best to take it in the future tense, like then the land will yield its harvest and God, our God, will bless us. In other words, in this verse, the psalmist is expressing confidence, in the faithful character of our God himself. He prays for God's blessing because he knows God's blessings are connected with God's promise, or purpose, excuse me. God's blessings are connected with God's purpose, and he's confident that God never fails. Write it down. God never fails. Church, Jesus promised to build his church. Jesus promised to gather the sheep from the Gentile nations that were not yet part of Israel to himself. Jesus promised that he will make for himself a worshiping community from every tribe, from every tongue, from every nation before time will come to an end. God will not fail in his promise. He will not fail in his purpose for giving his church such abundant blessing. That's why the psalmist concludes his prayer with such confidence, saying, "God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us." Because God never forsakes his children. He will continue to pour out his mercy. He will continue to pour out his spiritual friendship. He will continue to provide all that we need because his glory depends on it. So let the promise of God's blessing empower your prayer that God would indeed pour out more of his favor upon his church today, also that he might receive greater worship and praise from all 11,000 people groups on our planet today. After all, God blesses you for the sake of his praise among all nations. And every time God blesses you, it's an opportunity for your witness to unbelievers. God has given us everything we need. God has given us everything we have. all so we might make his glory known among the nations. So I think that means then that if you're like me, we need to repent. We need to repent of disconnecting God's blessings in our life from God's purpose in our life. Once we understand this powerful purpose and promise of Psalm 67, we should reconnect God's blessings in our life to God's purpose for our life. We must stop hoarding God's grace. We must stop living as if we are the center of God's universe. Once you understand that the purpose of your life is to spread the glory of God through you to others, then you will first pray. You will pray. And you will pray that God will cause you to know and to enjoy and to fear him more and more yourself first. Pray that God will cause you to know, enjoy, and fear him more yourself. After all, God intends for your knowledge of God to spread to others. God intends for your enjoyment of God to be contagious. It is your worship of God yourself that will actually compel your sacrificial witness for him as you fast and as you give and as you pray and as you go. All so that others might know the same saving power and ways of our marvelous God. See, unfortunately, too many of us listening right now, too many of us are ignorant of God. Our understanding of God is so shallow. We don't know his ways. We are ignorant of his grace. Too many of us are bored. Absolutely bored with the holy God. We're unmoved. We're casual in his presence. And that kind of Christianity will always fall short of the glory of God. So repent of your ignorance. Repent of your boredom. Repent of your indifference with our holy God. Instead, pray. Pray like Moses in Exodus chapter 33. Oh God, show me more of your glory. Cause all your goodness to pass before me. Because only once you see God as your righteous judge, and God as your sovereign king, and God as your merciful savior, will you then redirect all the blessings that God has given you towards God's purpose of causing the nations to be glad in the glory of God. Listen to how John Piper says this. This is helpful. He says, if God wants to get his goods to the nations, then he will fill the truck that's driving towards the nations. He will bless the church that's pouring itself out for the unreached peoples of the world. And this blessing is not payment for services rendered. It's power. It's joy for a mission to accomplish. When we move towards unreached peoples, we are not earning God's blessings. We are leaping into the river of blessings that's already flowing from God to the nations. So church, let's pray. Let's give. Let's go. Let's sacrificially reorient our lives for the sake of the unbelievers in Mackinac and the unbelievers in Goodfield. Let's reorient all that God has given us for the sake of God's glory among the Afghan refugees. Let's sacrifice for the people in the jungles of Ecuador or in the persecuted countries of Africa. Let's confidently trust and expect that the blessings of God will always follow the purposes of God. You can confidently trust God while you sacrificially risk everything for his glory. Our lives are short, are they not? Our lives are short. Church, we're just stewards of God's grace for the short amount of time that we're here. God has mercifully given us of his Spirit. He's given us his friendship. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. God has promised that he himself will be with us until the end of the age. We have nothing to fear except self-centeredness, which would cause us always to disconnect God's blessings from God's purpose in our life. Church, we have been blessed to bless. May we never forget that God blesses us for the sake of His praise among all peoples. Amen? Let's pray. So, Father, we just pray right now that You would pour out Your favor upon us. Free us from selfishness. Free us from greed. Free us from pride. Free us from all of the parts of our flesh that are offended by Your radical God-centeredness. Cause us to delight and enjoy Your glory more than we delight and enjoy any of Your other blessings. May we be satisfied in knowing You. And may our satisfaction overflow in generosity, in sacrifice, in worship, in praise. May we give. May Newcastle Bible Church become a people who is far more generous and sacrificial in how we live for Your glory among the nations. Something needs to change. We're far too much of consumers, hoarders. Give us the grace to repent, please. For greater joy awaits all those who know that they've been blessed to bless. We pray it in Your name. Amen.